Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Paul wrote, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us it is the power of God." So how do you effectively take that cross to those who think it's foolish? Today, final thoughts on what man thinks of the cross. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, in a series on why the cross can do what politics can't, Dr. Lutzer is turning our attention to those who believe that there are many ways to get to God.
Somebody who believes that has not yet seen the cross. They have not seen the holiness of God, and they most assuredly have not seen themselves. That's why it's so important, you know, to get people lost before they are saved, because if so, they'll be praying prayers that are meaningless down the road, because they have not seen the fact that the cross of Jesus Christ is not just a bridge to God. The cross of Christ is the bridge to God, and there can be none other. None. Because there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There is none other. It's like thinking to yourself as you come to a door, it doesn't really matter what key you use because somehow there's a lock on the door and all keys fit. No, the door to heaven has only one key that fits, and that is the cross of Christ when he died for sinners and became the sin bearer of those who believe. Do you see in our postmodern day how people don't understand the gospel at all? They may say wonderful things about Christ, and this lady is going to have to learn someday that actually the more you add to the cross, the more you subtract from it, the minute you try to amalgamate it and bring it in with another view, you dilute its power, that its power is in the purity of its message. The cross of Christ. And then third, and most important, the cross is the power of God. It is the power of God, this message is. You see, what I fear is that we come now to the end of the message, and there are some of you who say, well, you know, if what you say is true, why should I bother witness? Why should I bother telling people about Christ? Because you're saying they consider it foolishness. They see it as something that goes to the heart of really who they are as sinners, and they don't want to acknowledge that. Why should I bother? Well, if that's your conclusion, you most assuredly have missed the point of it all. Notice what the text says in verse 21. It pleases God. It pleases God through the foolishness of the message as it is shared. Don't get hung up on the word preach to think that you have to preach a sermon. The foolishness of the message to save those who believe. Yes, it is a scandal. Yes, by some it is considered to be foolishness, but it is exactly at that point that its genius is most clearly seen and its most power is released. It is then that it explodes in people's hearts. That's why I'm not discouraged if people don't immediately believe. That woman for whom I prayed several times after I witnessed to her on the plane, who knows but that by now she has already come to saving faith in Christ, not only because I left a witness with her and explained why the cross has to stand alone, but I also gave her a copy of a book I like to carry with me entitled How You Can Be Sure That You Will Spend Eternity with God, which she promised she would read. Who knows? There are many people who think that the cross is foolish, but you present the message and it begins to wear on their soul and they begin to think about it and God begins to change their heart and somewhere down the road they come to saving faith in Christ and the message that they thought was stupid is now a message of strength and glory and liberation and power and release and blessing. That's where its power lies, is in the content of explaining the gospel. Do you realize that there are thousands of people in America every single day who come to saving faith in Christ? Thousands of them scattered throughout this nation. And if you were to add all those throughout the whole world, there are tens of thousands of people throughout the entire world, in all the different countries of the world, who every every day experience the power of the cross. Yesterday I was at a meeting where a couple shared for a half an hour. It was quite an experience. They talked about an impossible marriage. They were both into the drug scene, not only because they used drugs, but they actually sold drugs. And so because they didn't know whether they should be married, they lived together for 6 years, and because they had so many arguments, they thought, you know, if we get married, maybe our arguments will stop. How do you like that for... Now, that's really the wisdom of the world. I mean, now we're talking really, really wise. Well, of course, the arguments didn't stop, and then they thought to themselves, you know, maybe if we had a baby, then our arguments would stop. So they had a baby and a little girl. But eventually he left and began to live with other women, to go back to his lifestyle and do drugs again. But meanwhile, she became friends with some Christians who introduced her to Christ, and now she said she's going to Bible studies. And people would say to her at work, you know, what are you doing for an exciting evening? And she says, here I'm a woman who got blitzed every night, and now I tell them I'm going to a Bible study. And they think, well, that really is foolish. Mind you, as long as you're into drugs, you're not stupid. But to go to a Bible study, now that is stupid. For 3.5 years, she hung on to that marriage with an entire church praying for her husband. He became friends with the pastor. The pastor shared with him. They became friends. You see, the purpose of friendship evangelism is not to dilute the message of the cross. It is to build some credibility so that we can get people's ear. And that's what the pastor did. You can't just dump this... the message on them and expect people to respond to it. They've got all of these misconceptions. They wonder who we are. They wonder who this strange person is that loves the Bible and goes to Moody Church. It takes a while for them before they actually know that you're authentic and that you are believable, and it gives you then the right to share the gospel. Well, that's what happened. He came to saving faith in Christ 5 years ago, and he stood up there just in tears, telling what God had done in their life and how he restored trust in their marriage. It's the power of the cross. No other message can do that. There's no way that we can turn to some theory to say that that's what is going to happen. Why? It pleases God. He said that when the pastor asked him about his relationship with God, he was offended. He said, I was a good Lutheran. But it pleases God by the foolishness of the message shared to save those who believe. What a message. And at the very time when the evangelical church should be excited about this message, it is losing its nerve. We cast about looking for an answer to our problems, and we think it's in politics, or we think surely the answer to people's problem is in psychology, or it's in taking the cross and dressing it up and making it look a little better so that we can have some real entertainment. Now that'll really do it. We're looking for some way to do something because our nation is in such need. And God says, I'm pleased by the foolishness of that message to save those who believe. Jesus was not crucified between two candles in a cathedral. Jesus was crucified on a cross that was in an area that was so cosmopolitan that the message above his cross had to be written in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. He was crucified in a place called the place of a skull because so many skulls apparently had been there. It was kind of the garbage heap of Jerusalem, and that's where he died. And when he died there, there was one thief on one side and there was another thief on another. And you remember the one who was on one side represents all those who reject the cross of Christ. You remember what he says? If you're the Son of God, well then come down from the cross and save us. Show us a sign that we might believe thee. And on the other side, there was a man who said to the guy across the way as they were dying, look, you'd better watch what you're saying. This man is innocent, and you and I, we're dying because we deserve it. But this man didn't do anything amiss. And then he turns to Jesus, and what does he say? He says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Think of the faith that man had. much greater faith than you and I need to believe on Christ, because he never even saw the resurrection. All that he saw was a man who was dying, who was in the same mess as he was. Christ appeared to be as helpless as the thief next to him. But he saw in that death something that was for him. He saw the cross and just said, "Remember me." Now you think about it, Jesus died before he did, because it says that when the soldiers came, they found out and they were surprised that Jesus had died already, and the other two guys had not yet died. The soldiers made sure they did, but you know what that means, don't you? It means that when that thief died, the first person he saw when he got to paradise was Jesus there waiting for him. What a message. Because it pleases God by the foolishness of the cross to save those that believe. And we can say with William Cowper, "The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. But there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away." And there at the cross, when Jesus Christ died, he did something for sinners that no other God can ever do. He died for us, and if you believe, he died for you. And even in this great auditorium today, there are probably dozens of people who have never believed on Christ. You have never finally ended all of the jockeying of control of your life to say, "Lord Jesus, if you died for sinners, I receive you as mine, that you also may be in paradise." It pleases God from the foolishness of the message to save you if you believe. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I hope that you listened carefully. In the midst of our political campaign, when so much is being said about what candidate would be the best, and we're listening to commercials and we're discussing the impact of one leader on America, isn't it wonderful to know that we have a message that actually transforms the human heart? And what I've attempted to do in this series of messages is to stress that the cross of Jesus Christ can do what politics can't. Men despise the cross, but for those who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. And I guess the burden that is on my heart that I wanted to convey during this series of messages is simply this, that let's get our priorities straight. Politics is important. I'll be commenting on that as this series progresses. But at the same time, it is the gospel that is most important. Let's not lose sight of the fact that we have a message that can transform the human heart. So if you want to do something good for America, I have an idea for you. Share the good news of the gospel wherever God has planted you, in banks, hospitals, and wherever you may find yourself today, in the office. Be a witness for Christ. Let your light shine, and God will shine upon you.
And with this challenge, Erwin Lutzer concludes What Man Thinks of the Cross, another message in a series on why the cross can do what politics can't. Next time, don't miss The Cross, the Suffering of God. When it comes to faith and politics, we need some clear teaching. This 8-part CD series can be yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.